This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Dennis Wise, great filmmaker. And also we have Sam in Washington, who's originally from Scotland, on the line. Sam, you still out there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I guess one of your most famous Scotsmans died recently, Sean Connery, right? And he was from Edinburgh. Where are you from, Sam?
Yeah. I'm from the southwest of Scotland, Dumfriesshire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To the other side of the country.
Yes.
I was just saying, Sam, in the break, I know exactly where you're coming from, because in the UK, we don't even have Holocaust laws, don't need them. People's already that brainwashed.
No, I have friends that I was in the army with, I was in the parachute regiment, and now some of them have gone on to be high-ranking masons, high up in security and international firms. And
well, they were
they probably. Yeah, and it's very, very difficult for me to talk to them. Some of them would probably want to kill me for talking about this stuff. But like I say, getting back to this country, it's extremely difficult to talk to people about it because they've been brainwashed. And like I say, I was brainwashed as well. I remember, I'm 53 now, but when I was in primary school, they made us, they sent a letter home from a teacher, and they made us watch Schindler's List. The only program in my entire childhood that the school sent a letter home to the parents to make us watch. And at the time, I just thought, oh, fair enough, we'll just watch it. But looking back at this, total brainwashing propaganda to get this stuff into our heads at a very young age.
It's funny you say that, because in the documentary, I touch on the Schindler's List, which a lot of people don't realize, that was portrayed as a true story. But it actually won an award. The book won an award for fiction. And they actually filmed it in black and white to make it more realistic. And
exactly.
They've had children watch that. Even those scenes of nudity and violence, they've had school children watch that. And that was probably one of the worst of all the films for the brainwashing.
Oh, it was a shocking piece of propaganda. And getting back to what you were saying about Netflix now, everything on Netflix is propaganda. I watch some of the European crime shows, and you're not 10 minutes into the show where the lead character, the lead detective, is homosexual with a mixed race, in a mixed race relationship, you know?
Right.
And whatever, if that's what you want to be, that's fine, but it's not as predominant as Netflix is telling us. Like, the way they portray it, it's like everybody's like that, and I'm not.
No, because it's an agenda. That's why. Because I mean, if somebody meets it and you know they fall in love, then it doesn't bother me one iota. But I mean,
yeah, whatever.
Keep pushing it, keep brainwashing people to actually mix and kill your race, because that's what they're after doing. At the end of the day, you know, it's an agenda.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks again for your excellent documentary. I recommend it to everybody who watched. The group.
Pleasure.
Yeah, thanks. I'll let you go. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Cheers.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, it is. It's all propaganda, and it's so hard to stomach it. I mean, even now with what happened with this fake election, it's for me anyway. It's hard for me to even look on the internet at web pages of this old, senile, decrepit
picture.
Yeah, this thing that is in the White House.
Yeah, but Dave, you got to understand, right? That anyone with an ounce of sense must realize that election was stolen. Not that I think that Trump was the answer anyway, but that's besides the point. He were fighting communism. He were against abortion. A lot of things, you know, what I stand for as well. But the point being is, for Biden to win that election, he would have had to get more votes than any other president in the history of the United States. And you just can't buy that one.
No. Especially since he was hiding in the basement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't even campaign.
No, and there was no... there was literally no enthusiasm for this guy. So, right. But then again, there are folks who are saying, well, he got all those votes because of the mail-in votes. So,
well, I think that was a big thing. I mean, you know, the China virus was a big thing because they used that. I'm not saying there isn't a virus. I mean, I know some people who's had a severe bout of a virus or a flu, I know for a fact. But the point is that they've used that to take advantage of it for the postal votes, which are easier to actually fix.
Absolutely.
Even though there was evidence on film of people, you know, clearing people out of the room and then bringing all these votes in, even then, the mainstream media was strong enough just to block it all.
Ignore it, exactly. Yeah. And that's the problem. The problem, in a nutshell, is that if we're ever to have any semblance of a real media, is this particular media has to go, and it come back.
Exactly what happened in Germany.
Yes.
That's the reason why he did it. Because let's face it, if you open up your country to these kind of people, not just the Jews, other people as well, and they get enough, you know, they make inroads into politics and they make inroads into the media, over a period of time, if you don't have a block, they're going to change the culture of your country.
Yes.
And that's exactly what was happening in Germany. And it was said, enough is enough. This is Germany. If you don't like it, leave. But you ain't going to change it.
Yes. Yes,
and it's called a racist, right. and all this kind of carry on. Well, the same thing is happening to Trump. Trump's trying to put blocks on certain things, and he's being called a racist. It's the same old.
Yes.
But the blueprint is the Russian Revolution, because that is the way to take down a big Christian country. They've done it once, and they have the blueprint. And we all know about the murders. I mean, if you're caught with a Bible, you were shot. If you were anything Christian, you were in a gulag. And they're going to come for Christianity in America. There's no doubt about it, because that's what communists do. They can't live together.
Yes.
Christianity and communism cannot live together.
They already are. And that's what I was going to ask you, Dennis, is you've obviously studied this topic intensely, and seeing what you have seen and witnessing this takeover here, whatever you want to call it, of the United States, you know, they focused pretty much their whole existence on Trump, and it was nothing but negative news to turn him into the biggest piece of garbage that ever lived, that ever breathed. Mm-hmm. You see what they pulled off. Are there parallels? Are there clear parallels to Germany?
Clearly there is. I mean, there was a book, what came out, it was banned for a while, it was called Communism in Germany. And the opening piece of it says, like, all Americans must read this book, because what happened in Germany is going to happen in America. And I actually uploaded it up to the internet, I think Sven at Radio Albion helped do it as well. Just quick plug for them. I'm usually on there every Friday, but I haven't been for a while because of illness, but I'm hoping to be back at some stage. There's a blueprint, and they know what to do. The first thing they do when they get into a country, they'll take the media. Because once you've got the media, then people don't know what's going on. If you don't tell them, you don't even have to lie. You just don't say anything. And then, you know, they take other parts of the thing, like the movies. Hollywood, as we know, is run by Jews. So,
well, they invented it.
Well, they did, that's right. But even back in Germany, the first films for homosexuality were made by the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And like soaps today in England, I can sit down, I don't particularly like soaps, but if I sit down and having something to eat, the wife will put TV on and soap, and all of a sudden I've got two men kissing. It's not something that I particularly want to see.
Right, and as Sam said, it's they act like this is, you know, a common occurrence. Not
and they
that
also
it's a rarity.
Say, right. If you criticize it, it's hate speech, and it's not hate speech at all.
Yes. You know, well, that's right. It's something that
there's always been gays. You know,
yeah,
maybe
right.
they might have been in the closet, whatever. But to me, you know, whatever they did behind closed doors doesn't affect me. Doesn't affect my children at school when they're trying to teach them a 10-year-old about anal sex. That's when I draw the line, Dave.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's right. It, you know, when I was in the Navy, we had, I was on a submarine. We had a couple of gay guys, and it didn't really mean anything to us. But because they're drawing so much attention to it and cramming this crap down our throats, and, you know, and using, you know, the iron fist to make us love it. And if we don't, if we come out against it, then, you know, we're racists and Nazis and this and that, and throw in anti-Semite. Why not? Because, you know, many, many gays are Jews. So, I mean, it just, it doesn't end.
Oh, no, it's crazy. Now,
why do you think, why do you think it is that, okay, we do have, as we said, we do have the internet, so there's more of an opportunity for people to get educated and study what's happening and look at the patterns and identify the things that you've identified. Why do you think it is that it appears, and it maybe it's not, but it appears as if not very many people are getting it?
Well, to be honest, lately I think the internet's tightened up anyway. Again, you can see by the elections, like, you know, with Google, you know, they're only going to leave certain people into certain areas. So you've got to use, I particularly use DuckGo something or other, which if I put a quest in there, search for something, it's completely different to putting in the Google one. You know, Google are pretty adept now at hiding certain websites and blocking certain websites. But at the end of the day, people who want to research this kind of thing have to be interested in one. I mean, normally, guys, you know, mid-20s, well, they're chasing women all the time. They're not really interested about what's going on in the world or what went on in World War II. It's only in the later years, I think, when people start to wonder and start to look to research. But even so, there's so many, I mean, Alex Jones was the main gatekeeper to me, where he would subtly drive people away from a direction that they were going to go down, and he would have just, oh, the Nazis are running Hollywood, or it's, at the time the Chinese were running Hollywood, and he never mentioned the Jews, and he just deflected. And it weren't just him; there was a number of them. So you go on the internet, and if you're new to it all, you've got to take all this in and find out for yourself before you've even worked it out. And by that time, you're 3-4 years into your research.
Right. Excellent. Excellent points. Yes, that's right. Yes, it was always right. Or the Arabs controlled the media, or the, now it's the Chinese. And of course, there was all this Russian interference. Yeah. And when Biden supposedly won, I guess the Russian interference disappeared. There was nothing to worry about. Yeah, so it's all of these entities like an Alex Jones, who I've always been suspicious of him. I never paid attention to him because I think if somebody is using a bullhorn to, you know.
Well, he got banned, didn't he, eventually? I mean, people forget. Like, I mean, it came for people like me at first. I got banned a couple of years before Alex Jones did on YouTube. And other platforms, Facebook, I think it lasted 3 weeks. And that was the end of my career on Facebook. But because Alex Jones is on the, see, what people in America don't really understand is the winners of World War II were the Jews. Western Freemasonry run by the Jews, and the Eastern Communism run by the Jews. They won World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And since World War II, they've been moving to this new world order, and there's the left side of this movement wants communism, but the right side of this movement, like the Trumps and the Alex Jones and the Farages and all these people, they don't want communism. But at the end of the day, you're either voting red Goldman Sachs or you're voting blue Goldman Sachs.
Right.
But at the end of the day, Goldman Sachs wins.
Yes.
It's just which side comes out on top. And
yes, as they say,
you know,
it's the opposite sides of the same wooden nickel.
Exactly. exactly, which, yes, you know, Christianity is going to suffer whoever wins.
Yes, absolutely. Let me just give the numbers out here for folks to give a call if you have any questions or comments for Dennis Wise. 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252. I don't know why they even have 800 numbers anymore, because I think all the numbers basically are free. People are calling. So, but if you like 800 numbers for whatever reason or reasons, it's 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. 43, and that other number is area code 512, I think that's Texas, 248-8252, 512-248-8252. And we're talking to Dennis Wise, and really tying in what's happening today in the United States in the year 2021 to what happened to Germany 100 years ago. And I guess that period in between the end of World War One and the beginning of World War Two is when predominantly the Jews, might have even been solely the Jews, you know, really exploited a weakened Germany. And I'm not an expert in this by any means, but I do remember something about there were like burlesques, and
Berlin was.
Can you tell listeners a little bit about that, Dennis?
Well, Berlin was the center. It was the Babylon of Europe. Everybody knows about Babylon. Everything what went on in Babylon, in Berkshire, went on there, and it was the same with Berlin. You know, you could get anything for under $10, including paedophilia and all the rest. And this was totally against a nation which was Christian. And Hitler, eventually, when he came to power, cleared all of Berlin, all of these places out. And a lot of them went to America. You know, she a couple of actors, her actresses, she was a lesbian. Name doesn't spring to mind at the moment, but one or two over there went to America. And obviously they went over there saying what a terrible man Adolf Hitler was. He drove us all out. But the truth is, you know, he drove them out all right, but he drove them out for a reason. And like I said, it's Christianity had been fighting with the Freemasons for centuries. And World War II, to me, was the last great holy war. I go into great detail in the Secret Masonic Victory of World War II. Where millions of Christians from World War One was killed, millions from World War Two defeated in World War Two, and then after World War Two ended, we see the demise of Christianity in Europe and in other places like America as well.
Thank you, Dennis. And we're going to be carrying those films as well shortly. Let's take a call before the break, and then we'll have the fella hang on. Mark in Philly. Thank you, Ken. Mark, are you out there?
Yes, Dave, and thank you, Dave, for receiving my call, and thank you, Dennis, for the great work you've done. I'm on my second watch of your series. I'm very moved by it, but I am really blown away that there are still people who've watched it who don't get it. And I'm going to include some of the, now Dave, you're sitting in for Deanna, but there are other hosts on this network who are still saying Nazi this, Nazi that. And there are some that are saying, well, you know, he was Hitler was paid off. He was an inside guy. He was a shill, da 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 da. And I don't buy that, because to talk about the greatest hoax of history, this is, what happened with Hitler and the Germans was the greatest hoax of history in our most recent history.
Yeah, yeah. So, Mark, just hang on, my friend. Sure. We're going to go to a break, but hang on. We'll be right back. Oh.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes.
All right, folks. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to the show. This is Dave Gahary filling in for Deanna Spingola. I hope you're having a good time here on Saturday, the 30th of January. Seemed like it was just here. Now it's just about gone. One more day to go. So it's already the last day over in the other part of the world, New Zealand, Australia. Right now it is in the UK. It's 11:23 p.m. So say goodbye to January and say hello to February. It goes fast. We have Dennis Wise with us. And we have Mark in Philly. Mark, you were saying this is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, so just a little bit of, and I do have some questions. But first, just to share a little bit, Dave, and I don't know if I shared this with you. You know, I was born here in America, and I was also in the Navy like yourself. But I also happened to have been adopted. But by the time when I was 21, I was serving our country, in the Navy. And while that I was due, to be discharged within 4 months, and, I lost my second family back home, while in service. And, it was very devastating to me. My second family was very wealthy. Okay. So money didn't solve the problem. So I was left devastated, and I had little support when I returned home with our father. because he had a secret agenda, which I did not know at the time. God does have grace, and how I know that is if I had known what I learned after he died, very shortly after he died, it would have been a bad situation for him, because he was a pedophile. He adopted me and my little sister. But at the point of 21, I was asking a lot of questions, and I'd lost all my references. And yes, there were some bad actors in the first family, some bad actors. It was like my adopted father in the second family. But there was something deeper, and I just kept asking, what's going on here? What's going on? And this is in the early 80s, and it wasn't happening to a lot of families then. But my greatest fear is that what happened to me would happen to others, and look where we're at now. So our families are being destroyed. So just, you know, back then I was like, well, what's going on? Why, could I reach out to the community? And they were comfortably numb. They couldn't deal with the what had happened with my family. You know, like, well, it's like tough luck, you know, do the best you can, and that kind of thing. So but the connecting point for me with who the enemy really is, because I was like, well, who's doing these bad things here, and who's doing the bad things here? And going back in history and learning about the Depression and the legal system and the medical system and the money system and all of this, I said, you know, who's doing this? And the connect the dots moment for me, Dave, was the USS Liberty, because that's our greatest buddy ally, right? And we give them all kinds of money, and we're the ones that signed off for them to become their own country. That was Truman, I believe, who was from Missouri, right? You know, the buck stops here guy. So that's what connected the dots with me. And since then, I've connected dots in other ways. By the way, I'd encourage both you, Dave, and Dennis to look up this website, noplaceforcorruption.com. Noplaceforcorruption.com. And that's a man named Art here in Philadelphia, and he's on Rick Adams' show occasionally. And he tells about the core, the power center being here in Philly. And what, I mean, we every time you listen to this guy, or you read, if you read his noplaceforcorruption.com, there's a PDF there. It's like 900 and some pages or 1,000 pages. And it goes in depth about the core root system of the special people and how, I mean, we're talking about the taproot. Philadelphia is one of the power centers, and also St. Louis area in the Midwest. There's a synagogue there and all that. So anyway, it seems to me is that the way they've put forth this stuff, and it's hard for people to comprehend that the evil ones, the special people, and I think that's who it is, or at least the ones that pretend to be the special people. That's the other part. You know, are they really who they say they are? They're all pretend, maybe. But they've made sure that they planted the seed in the Christian theologist across the country that they are the special people and don't even question them and all of that. But I call it multiplicity of purpose. So whenever they do something, they don't just try to kill two birds with one stone. They love to kill 10 birds with one stone. And in their path of destruction, they make sure they want to make some money on the side. So whatever they, yeah. I mean, they're really genius, but they're evil, right?
Yeah.
What was I going to ask you? So, Dennis, I'd like this deal about the Nazis and with Hitler being the inside guy. I mean, who's pushing this stuff? I mean, it's like people still don't get that. You know, like when Patton, after we defeated the Germans, he said we've defeated the wrong enemy.
That's right.
He got it. And he wanted to go straight to Moscow and kick what's his name?
Yeah, he got it.
And he was going to take.
He got it because he was over there. But people in America, back in Britain, they had no idea. So what did they do? You don't want Patton going back to America because he's a popular general. They don't want him being president. So, bang, he's taken out.
Right. And then that's why they had to take Patton out, right? They had to take Patton out because he was in the know.
Yeah.
And he was going to go back, and he was going to beat Eisenhower. And Eisenhower was, I mean, these guys behind the scenes were connected in so many ways. I mean, like Stalin was one of their best buddies. I don't know. It seems like it's just ridiculous, man. And
America's
Roosevelt. Wait.
Sorry, America's look at Roosevelt as a great president. Roosevelt's the one that caused all the problems. You know, he caused the depression. He caused it so the bankers could buy up farms for next to nothing. This is another. trait what they use as well. They're doing that now over here in the UK, where they're buying all the pubs and the shops on pennies because the business is closing down. But it's a similar thing what went on in the 30s in America. Well, Roosevelt worked for the bankers. The bankers actually funded the Russian Revolution. So the bankers actually controlled not only America through Roosevelt, but they controlled the Soviet Union through the Bolsheviks because they funded them. It's one big giant spider's web. But once you see it, you can understand why certain things went down. And fortunately, a lot of people just haven't got the time to research and or... If even so, you know, they're distracted to somewhere else.
Mark, thank you for your call, my friend. We're going to take another call.
Thank you, Mark. Okay, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we have Richard in Alabama. Richard, you out there? Richard in Alabama. Sweet home Alabama.
No, I'm trying to. Am I here?
Oh boy.
Am I on?
Richard, you're not coming.
Am I on?
Richard, can you hear us?
That's better.
Richard? Richard?
I'm trying to.
Oh, there you are. Richard, Richard. Yeah. You're in Alabama, right?
Yeah.
Where are you in Alabama?
Up in the north, close to Tennessee.
Oh, gotcha.
Right on the river.
Nice, yeah. We're pretty close to Alabama here, but southern Alabama. And Alabama's a beautiful state. So what do you have any questions for Dennis or any comments?
Yeah. I got this book. It was written by Max Hastings and George Stevens, who is the son of that famous motion picture producer. And in this book, it says on the 7th of April, in a freak act of warfare almost overlooked by historians, German ME-109 fighters undertook a mass suicide mission against American bomber formations over Hanover. The Luftwaffe recruited 184 volunteer pilots to ram the flying fortresses in mid-air. In that day, 133 Messerschmitt 109s were lost, together with the lives of 77 German pilots. They destroyed 23 B-17s. And that's the only book that has ever admitted an incident like that. Am I still talking to somebody?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Yep, we're listening.
Yeah.
Anyway,
see, the problem is you don't have to tell lies. You just don't say anything. It's a bit like the Eisenhower death camps. They only just come to light recently. Now, you know, but they didn't lie about it. They just never mentioned it.
Well, Dennis, is this true or not?
I'm pretty sure it is true, yeah. I've heard of that one, yeah, I have. Because they were so desperate to stop the... Because civilians were targeted. And in the Great Story Never Told, I show how America even changed the policy. Because America weren't happy about the situation at first. But they changed the policy and they started targeting civilians, just like the British did. And it was pure murder. I mean, you know... These, you know, Vikings back in the old days, you know, they would rape and pillage. And that's exactly what the Bolsheviks did.
Yeah. Well, it's just a tragedy. I wasted so much of my youth because I was ignorant and trying
Everybody
to do
was. All. And whatsoever, these people who lost family in that war, they will find it hard to believe that they were tricked into that war. You know, there's people who've lost granddads and, you know, fathers and brothers or whatever, and uncles, they're lost in that war. And you tell them that they were tricked into fighting Germany, and they find it hard to believe. They really do, but that's a fact.
Yeah.
the more I learned about Hitler's economic program, the more I see that it is what we should do now to get ourselves out of this terrible mess, and we're not going to do it. We're going to do all of them.
To control the Federal Reserve, that's the problem. Yeah. Unless you've got somebody in there who, like Hitler, was determined to get him out because he knew it wouldn't work otherwise, then it's never going to happen. You know, it's it is what it is. You know, they control the finances. What did Rothschild say once? I care not who leads a country as long as we run the finances.
Okay, I guess that's about all I had to say. I apologize. My cell phone is defective
in some way. No, buddy, you don't have to apologize. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Bye.
Appreciate it. Yeah, Dennis, I've never made a movie, so I don't know how to relate to it, but when you hear these folks saying what they're saying about the movie and thanking you the way that they are, what is that? How does that feel? I mean, what's the overriding emotion that?
Well, it's two-sided, really. One, to prove what I'm saying is right is always, you know, nice to see. But on the other side, I wish I was wrong, because obviously what I'm saying, what happened and what's going to happen, I think it's going to be a great tragedy. And I'm just, you know, I wish sometimes I was wrong, but the three documentaries have proven different.
Yeah, no, you're probably not wrong. We have another caller, Dennis. We have James in Vancouver. James, are you there?
Yes, good afternoon. Your program is very interesting. And my my observation would be, after 76 years after the Allies defeat Nazi Germany, here they are locking people down in the UK and wanting to kill them with a vaccine.
Yeah. Correct. It's the same people. It's the same people that the Germans fought.
Well, I was going to make a comment. The Nazis were more diabolical than you might think. For example, I don't mean they were diabolical, but they were infiltrated by people that wanted to start a war, you see. The whole object was to draw Germany into a war that Germany couldn't win, and then take all of the things that Germany developed and had for invented for technology and take them out. You see, this was I think part of the.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, what you're saying is correct. I think up to a point. I'm not sure. You know, the plan was such, because if people studied my work, find out that Hitler didn't want to go to war. He never wanted to go to war. And it was Roosevelt who was pushing Britain and France to back Poland. And knowing that the German minorities were being subjected to atrocities in Poland, knowing that it's only a matter of time before Hitler would have to do something, and Roosevelt was the one behind it all. And he more or less said, look, we're going to join in at some point. We can't at this moment, because majority of the population don't want another European war. But certainly, you know, he found his way in.
Well, I have a very good friend here who was in the Hitler Youth in 1944, firing German 88s at Allied bombers. And he's of the opinion that a lot of high-level people in the Nazi Party were actually infiltrators. They did not have the best in mind for the welfare of the German people. Okay, so I'm not getting.
Yeah, well,
this,
there were certainly people in there who were traitors. There's no doubt about that. You just have to look at the.
Right. So you know, I think you got to be careful, because nobody in their right mind would attack Russia. Nobody in their right mind would attack Russia.
Yes, they would. Yes, they would, and I'll tell you why they would. Because Russia was coming. Hitler discovered that Stalin had the biggest army ever seen on the edge of Europe. And they were going to invade, and they were going to go right through to France, because there was nobody to stop them. and worked for Germany preempted that strike. Because Hitler got six other Christian countries to go in with him to take Stalin down. But, you know, that hand was forced. And he almost did it.
But from a strategic point of view, it would be better to let the Russians invade first. Just like America.
No, sorry. That was actually...
James, have you seen Dennis's movie, James?
Sorry?
Have you watched Dennis's movie? The one we're talking
about? No, I have not. I should. But warfare, you see, is, you know, it's kind of like how can I put it? Hindsight is 20/20. I'm just saying that even if you go back to Bismarck. Hello?
Bismarck probably makes sense for you to pick up the movie and watch it. And then.
Yeah, but the thing is that in Eastern Europe, everybody knows Stalin were going to invade. Over here, it's been hidden and denied. But when Stalin's coming with the biggest army the world's ever seen, and it attacks Europe, it goes through Europe like a knife through butter. The only way to stop it was surprise, which when the Germans invaded, it took millions just in the first few weeks. And eventually, they were trying to get to Moscow to take the snake's head off. Any other way, Europe would have suffered like they did in 1945 and 44. That would have come in 1939, and probably worse.
Right. Well, and nevertheless, Germany was destroyed. That's the point.
Without a doubt.
That's the point I'm making. And saying this because, for example, in the 1930s, the Germans invented and developed a cure for cancer, okay?
I'm quite familiar
with the medicine. But nobody gets that medicine now, see?
Except Israel.
No, I don't care about Israel. I understand what they're like.
Just check up how many people died of cancer last year in Israel.
So you're saying in Israel they have the cure for cancer?
I'm saying that the Germans invented it and Israel's got it.
Yeah, well, I don't think the Israelis are even getting it. Nobody's getting this stuff.
Well,
everybody's getting some kind of
the war.
James, we have another caller, but thank you for calling. I guess you're out in Vancouver, Canada, and hope you have a great remainder of the weekend. And we're going to take Murr in Wisconsin. Murr, are you out there?
Hi. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, good to hear you all here.
It's good to hear you, too. You got Dennis Wise here.
Yeah. And all Dennis' work is good. And people, you got to know you've been lied to, and it continues. I mean, everything they say, and the people that are in on it, you wouldn't think so. You know, they go along with it because that's what they're told to do, okay? And some of the German people are the worst for believing these lies.
Yeah, they were much more than anybody. Yeah,
because I lost a couple of friends. I mean, I can, you know... Whatever, but anyway, I was going to say, people, besides Dennis' work, go look at Mark R. Else's page, hitlerspeaceplans.com. He tried 30 times to keep from going to war. He didn't want to go to war. And you got to go back. You know, they always start with Hitler, okay? In 1933, Judea, on March 24th, it'll be 88 years, declared war on Germany and boycotted all their goods around the world. And, of course, they had to have the trade because they don't have a lot of room to grow their food. And before that, March 4th, when Rosenfeld was installed, and then 5 days later, he declared this country bankrupt and took all the gold away. So who are the villains, huh?
you know your history.
You know? But the people, you have to, you know, they always jump, boom, right on Hitler. Well, what happened before in Germany? Okay, there was a Weimar Republic that the Jews ran, and it was just as bad, maybe even worse than what we have now. They called the crippled children that they prostituted grasshoppers. You know, I mean, it was awful. And why was it so awful? It was because the Germans were being made to pay all these reparations that they shouldn't have been from World War One. And we have Jews bragging about World War One. We crushed Christianity. It's Christ versus Antichrist. That's what it always boils down to. And before World War One, even, back in 1882, Dresden, you know, the Germans were just so efficient. They held a conference about the Jewish problem because Napoleon, in 1848, had emancipated them. In other words, let them out of their ghettos so they could parasite on everyone. You know, and Harold Wallace Rosenthal, the administrator for Jacob Javits, freely said that's what they do. They're free to parasite on everyone. They don't care if you know it. It's just that they can keep doing it. So they've been expelled.
It's like Hitler said, the German people can't compete with how the Jews think. Because normal people don't think like that. They don't think to harm. They wake up in the morning and think, how can we harm or rob?
Right. The hidden tyranny is where you'll find that about Rosenthal and with his interview with Walter White. But Weissman, at the beginning of it, says, I mean, how can there be people like this? But then in 2 Thessalonians 2:14-15, it says they kill their prophets in Jesus Christ, and they're contrary to all men. Yep. This is how they are. You know, it's good versus evil, just blatant and true. People want to think that they can recognize evil and not recognize good, or the other way around. But this is a spiritual war. You know, and it's been going on a long time. The Jews have been expelled 1,030 times. Not 109, 1,030 times. And so then you have to look, and it almost gets to be a comical game to try to figure out where they showed up next and what guys. Were there Puritans or were there Puritans?
Yeah.
You know, every story you look into, because they fudge the history just like they're doing now, destroying all the statues so they can replace with whatever. And bringing in the Chinese as their proxies.
That's what they do.
Yeah. So they're planning to take over this land for the Chinese. That's the plan. And it's not with guns. They're going to do it with this. You know, God's hand is in everything all the time. And this virus, well, first off, viruses aren't anything. But I think they expected it to go off bigger than it did, at least in some areas, because there were several different vectors it was coming from. But one of the main ones was the first one to get busted. That was Charles Lieber, the chair of the chemistry department at Harvard. And he's into nanotech. And they quickly got him out of the news. But he was also in Wuhan and got money from both here and there. And growing these nanofibers is what they're doing. They want to put an operating system into our bodies. You know, that's why people fall for the virus thing. Yeah, because the computers with their viruses, and it's interesting that it's Bill Gates with both of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he's buying up all the farmland now in America, I believe.
Well, people Murph, really, thank you for calling, dear. We're going to grab another caller. It's always great to hear you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, dear. Thank you, Mur. She knows her stuff, as you said. We have Ken in New York. Ken, are you out there?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a couple questions, or rather a question regarding a couple incidents during Hitler's time, which never made a lot of sense to me. Does your video deal with Erwin Rommel in any way, or the attempted assassination of Hitler? I mean, have these stories been...
It deals with attempted assassination. I didn't deal with Rommel, and I didn't deal with the long knives because I felt it were already covered, even though I get criticized for not actually covering them. I thought 6.5 hours was long enough anyway.
Sure.
So, no, I didn't actually look deep into it, but from what I gathered, Rommel was given a full...
I mean, he was a fairly successful commander, and he was... Yeah. An old-style general, much like Yogi Zhukov. And he also had a difficult time with Stalin.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did.
I think we're going to take a quick break, but it's going to be a real quick one. And so can you stay on the line, Ken?
Oh, okay, I'll stay. I'd like to, yeah, okay.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Are back. Thank you, Ken, for running this show the way that you have. It's wonderful. And we're going to go back to Ken from New York. And Ken, you said you had a couple of questions for Dennis. Go ahead.
No, I think the Rommel one was really the one I was interested in. If you, although you didn't deal with it in the documentary, can you tell, do you have any idea why it happened?
Well, from what I've researched that deep, is the fact that they thought Rommel was involved in the assassination attempt because he was such a great general and was held in high esteem. They gave him the option of a ceremonial burial and treat as a traitor. I mean, treat as a hero, sorry, rather than being condemned as a traitor with Stauffenberg and the others.
And he didn't want to be part of...
That's true or not, I don't know. You know.
He wasn't part of the party, was he?
The National Socialist Party? I don't think he was, no.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right, great. So that was Ken in New York. So we had quite a few callers, and we might have time for one more call or two, but it's amazing that, you know, this is a topic that holds so much interest for people. And, you know, Hitler assumed the reins of power in, 1933? So that's quite a long time ago for such a lively discussion. Why do you think it is, Dennis, that even today, and it seems like more and more people are finding out about Hitler.
Significance of it all was life changing for everybody when the war was lost. You know, even
yes.
We didn't know it.
Yes. I'm sorry to cut you off short, Dan. We do have another caller, Layla in Canada. I hope I said the name right. Did I?
Yes, you did pronounce it correctly. I'm listening. I'm sorry I missed the first half, but I'm just kind of astounded what you're discussing, especially as I look back at my knowledge of the Bronfmans. I lived in Montreal, and my first job out of high school was, ironically, at something called Canadian Friends of the Hebrew University, raising funds for the university in Jerusalem, and obviously one of its greatest drivers for fundraising was the Bronfman family and the Seagram's Empire. So when they found out that I was a Christian Palestinian from Bethlehem, I can't remember who the man was that was head of Seagram's at the time, whether it was Samuel or Charles or whatever. I just did what my bosses told me. They were Alex Mogolonsky and Sam Risk. And they said, Mr. Bronfman wants to see you. So I went over to Seagram's house, sat there. He spoke with me for a while. I remember there was some very strange expressions on his face. I thought I even sensed a little bit of shame and regret. And then he dismissed me. And many years later, or a few years later, I was working for an advertising agency, the top ad agency in Montreal or in all of Canada. And Seagram's was one of our clients, and I had to go over to do some research on their new scotch called The Passport. I remember he encountered me in the hall, and he remembered me. So that was my only contact with the Bronfmans. And, of course, they have always, especially in Montreal, they were always promoted as the philanthropists, the supporters of culture and art and whatever. And I'd always suspected that, I knew that they were supposedly made rich by their rum running to the U.S., but it goes a whole lot deeper. And I who thought I knew most of the background of the corruption,
yeah.
It's stunning for me. Thank you. Where can this movie be seen? Is it one of the streaming services, or is it privately available?
The DVD is actually available over at the website MoneyTreePublishing.com.
MoneyTreePublishing.com. Okay, I will get a hold of that. And by the way, it's I'm beginning to realize just how badly maligned Hitler was, even by the Austrians. A man that is very rarely spoken of is Engelbert Dollfuss, who was the Chancellor of Austria for only about 2 or 3 years. He was a very good man. He was a Christian, accused of being an anti-Semite and a fascist, which he was not. He was dealing with Nazis, communists, as well as workers' unions that were, there were fights in the street, and he had to suspend parliament. He was finally assassinated by Nazis. Now, I knew his son when I was in Montreal, and they believed that Hitler had been behind the assassination of Chancellor Dollfuss. But later, I've read incredible sources that Hitler was furious when he found out that Dollfuss had been assassinated. It was very cruel. They knew that the Nazis were coming to attack, and the rest of the cabinet that was still there fled in fear. And Dollfuss, who was a very short man, always almost ridiculed for being so short, was the only one who had the courage to stand there and face them and defend the building that he was in, which was essentially the administration that still existed of the government of Austria. And they shot him in the head and just left him there to bleed to death. The only reason the family, the children, survived was because the wife and children were with Mussolini visiting him at the time. And I've long suspected that Mussolini might have been behind it too, because he later allied with Hitler, it was on the basis of fascism, I think. But it's just amazing how all of this comes together. And there's one other interesting fact. There, you know the name Kim Philby, one of the most famous
spies
of Britain, the upper class. He was recruited from Cambridge and was one of the Cambridge Five or the Cambridge Six. He was working as a reporter in Austria at the time. You know, reporters have been used as intelligence agents or spies or traitors for a long, long time. And he actually married a Jewish woman who was a communist and brought him into the Communist Party, where he then took her back to London with him and rose in the ranks of Britain's foreign service. He eventually died in the Soviet Union. But it's all tied together. It's just generations and families that are inbred. It's all married to one another. If you begin to read who married whom, and you see that they have made it, it's almost as though it's passed on heritable right to be as evil as they are. And passed themselves. I'll let you go. I can hear the music.
Thank you for the call. Wow. I'll tell you, Dennis, what a great show. Fast and what a bunch of great callers, huh?
Yeah.
Really?
We didn't even scratch the surface.
Wow. Dennis Wise.